It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn with Dan Berger and the wine buyer from Bottle Barn, our good friend Barry Herbst is back with us. Guys, good to see you.
Yeah, how you doing?
We've been telling people all day that Trecchini Winery was going to be featured today, but there was a calendar mix-up apparently. So they'll be with us next week. In the meantime, it's me, Dan, and Barry. This is nice. We get to really get into some discussions here about some interesting wines.
Oh, my goodness. Interesting's not the word.
Okay. Each of them brought two. And there's only, there's no Sonoma County. There's one Napa, right?
But there's a Napa, and there's an Argentina. There is a Sonoma
Russian
County.
River, Colombard.
And who's that?
French Colombard from Yannick Noah. Yannick Russo.
Not
the tennis.
And what's the one, Barry, with the weird label there?
So that's Dornfelder from Reichsrat von Buhl, Germany. It's a
one of the best producers in Germany, and it's a red wine from Germany.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, you don't see it very often.
And it's a twist top.
Yeah.
Wow.
But the, easy
but
access.
The Colombard is going to be the killer wine, I tell you. That is just fabulous.
Yeah, this guy grew up in Gascony.
Right,
so
and that's his first wine. The first wine he ever made when he was 15 years old was Colombard.
Yeah, and Tenati's very familiar with that.
So that's what he specializes in.
Should we start with
days.
That?
Sure. Dan, you brought a $140 bottle of red from where?
Argentina.
Argentina, and I'm going to let everyone know that Dan said, look, I brought a $140 bottle of red from Argentina, and it's really not worth it.
Well, I don't think any wine's worth $140.
I agree completely.
No, I mean, it's probably pretty good wine. We haven't tried it yet, so we'll pull a cork and we'll try it. But first of all, let's get to this French Colombard. Now, this is the ultimate summer wine. It's simple. It's direct. It's flavorful. It's got some nice little citrusy notes to it.
And this is Sonoma County.
These are from old vines in the Russian River Valley.
And it's... it looks like it's only $15 at Bottle Barn?
Yeah, $14.49. So surprising somebody's still growing this because, you know, considering you could butt it over to Pinot Noir. And
yeah, you don't hear Colombard, the word Colombard much.
No. This is a grape variety that does actually pencil out in the vineyard because you can grow 6 or 7 tons per acre, and it commands enough of a price where you can actually make a nice wine out of it. It's difficult to make it this good. You've got to keep the acidity up, and you've got to make sure that your acid and your sugar are balanced, and that's the secret.
Yeah.
And
this was I like this.
Yeah, this was the dominant grape at one time in the
United
Central
States,
Valley.
Yeah,
1960s
in California, in probably 1965. This was the most widely planted grape variety in the state.
Well, I haven't heard the name in years.
Very few people still doing it. It's it doesn't pencil out for everybody, and it's not that easy to grow and make.
And it's to the credit of the grower to keep this in the ground, because this is really a wonderful variety. It was actually utilized many years ago by Paul Masson when he was making his sparkling wines. And the reason was that his sparkling wines were based upon good acidity, and he needed to have this variety, otherwise he couldn't make the wine.
Yeah.
So he kept the French Colombard in that wine for a long, long time. So this is Yannick Russo is French-born and trained, grew up in Gascony, as Barry said, and then moved over to the United States about 20 years ago and worked in some wineries in Napa.
Luc Morlet, I think he worked with him, and Michel Roland was the consultant there, so...
This is a little sweet for me, but still a very good sipping summer wine.
Sure, perfect for that, and also with the patios and hot days and so forth. You can chill it even down further.
Yeah, this is a nice cold, so you'd get a little more lift and
that makes sense.
Brightness, and the sugar wouldn't show as much, probably.
I really do. I like it.
Now, there's an alternative. What they're calling, there has been a phrase called millennial whites. You can call them Gen X whites. Have you heard that phrase?
Yeah, it's a hot category in the store now.
It's a big deal, isn't it?
What is it?
It's it's blends that include this
it's
or
like
Vermentino.
My children making wines?
Yeah, no, these are white wines that are being made essentially from grape varieties that nobody ever heard of before. Albarino,
Verbolagiello.
Verdejo, things like that.
And they're trying to break out of the Chardonnay Sauvignon Blanc rut. And many different permutations. You know, some are blends, some are 100%. But it's definitely, with a younger crowd and even an older crowd that wants to try new things, it's become pretty popular. And definitely that section I've been stocking pretty regularly.
I'd rather stay in my Chardonnay Sauvignon zone. Blanc rut.
Most of us like the variety that you get from different styles of Sauvignon Blanc. You go from New Zealand, then you go to Napa, then you go to Argentina, and so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. So you have all these different variations of Sauvignon Blanc. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But when you want something really different, you know, get a wine from Spain that is made from a grape variety that only grows in Spain. That's kind of an interesting experience.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it allows people to go outside of the area, too. They're going into the Sacramento Delta, going as far north in Potter Valley, Ukiah, all a lot of different areas that are kind of been underserved in the last five years.
I was talking with Glenn McGordy, the farm advisor for Lake and Mendocino counties today, and he was talking about Humboldt County.
Yeah.
Why not look into Humboldt County? There's a whole different growing region up there.
Yeah, people are definitely
not only pot.
Yeah,
it's not quite as profitable,
but a little easier.
Well, it's been fun for the last several years to watch the retail mix change. Retailers have had to really dance to a completely different drummer than they used to 20 years ago. You've been in the business long enough, Barry. You've seen this.
it's ebbed and flowed quite a bit, but now the diversity of what the kind of wines you have to carry is greater than ever because people are willing to try things, you know.
That's the nice thing about it is that the adventuresomeness of the buyer is the people are walking through the door and they're saying, tell me what's new, rather than a standard old, give me the same old thing I had last week.
Yeah, especially up here. There's so many people on the production side that want to, you know, try new things, try things against their wines from other parts of the world and, you know, thinking about planting new varieties and
I was in Bottle Barn yesterday just buying some random things, and I noticed that Barry's got a rosé in there from the Loire Valley. Now, I expected that the Loire Valley wine was going to be from Cabernet Franc, but it's actually from Pinot Noir.
Pinot Noir, Sancerre.
No, let me see that.
Oh, the bottle?
Yeah, because I've never heard of this, but this is interesting.
Yannick Rousset.
Old Vines, Colombard, Russian River Valley. Why Rousseau? Yannick Rousseau is the winemaker, or
he's a
winemaker owner.
And that's the brand. Yeah. Yep.
And how long has this been around?
He started making this about 6 years ago.
Yeah, and he's got a small tasting facility over in Napa, kind of an industrial center similar to ours. I used to work over in that area near the
Nice man. He makes great Merlot. Mm. Makes really good Tannat. Well, Tannat is another one of
those.
He's
got a rosé from Tannat, too.
He has a really nice bone-dry rosé.
Tannat red?
Tannat is a red wine grape. Very, very hearty red with lots of tannin.
And this is a 2016.
Yeah, it's a brand new one.
Now, what happens, Mr. Laydown?
I wouldn't lay this down.
I'd
take it home and drink it.
Enjoy the freshness.
Okay, 2016. Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
it's tricky to make because the grape variety in itself does not have a lot of complexity. So what you want to do is emphasize the fruit and the freshness. And if you can buy this now and drink it now, great. If you get it by September, you're probably looking at it's going over the hill. And by December, it's finished. It's like nouveau wine.
Fascinating.
And this one's labeled Old Vines, so it may have a little bit more going on for it. But
you said if it was even colder than it is now, some of that sweetness.
More of the acid would come up. And, you wouldn't. When you taste a wine warmer, for better or worse, some flaws will come out or be easier to taste, but also the complexity of the wine's easier to taste, so you kind of pick
right, your poison. Yeah, exactly. So. Dan, before we get to that $140 bottle, what else do you have here?
So in my column in the Press Democrat this morning, I was talking about a new brand called J. McClelland. It's owned by John McClelland, the former president of Geyser Peak Winery and had worked for many years at Almaden going way back. And this is one of his wines. This is a Napa Valley Petit Verdot from 2013. And it's pretty dark red, but not overwhelmingly dark. The way John and Anthony Scotto, who makes these wines, the way they have worked is to try to find really high-quality Napa Valley fruit and not charge too much for the wines. So this is a really, this is like a Cabernet Sauvignon style, but made entirely with Petit Verdot.
Explain Petit Verdot, guys.
Well, it's one of the grape varieties from Bordeaux, but it is
Anything close to Pinot Noir or
it's more
Petit
like
Syrah?
Cabernet.
More like Cabernet.
Like
originally
Cabernet.
Used for blending.
This seems
color.
A little lighter than a Cab, which I like.
And this is an unusual style because typically Petit Verdot is sort of like the Petit Syrah of Cabernet. And so it's usually darker and heavier. In this case, he made it elegant, and it's a beautiful wine. I think it's a gorgeous wine.
Look, I like it a lot.
For $40, you know, it's hard to find any Napa Valley wine for $40. This is going to be $40 or less. You'll probably have it at Bottle Barn for like $35. This is really a delicious wine. It doesn't need a lot of time in the bottle, but it would benefit from decanting. Open it up a little bit and give it some air.
Seeing more and more of these being bottled separate, it was always originally part of the five main grapes that go into Bordeaux and often blended out here. But I think in the last your last competition, I think I did this category, and there was probably 16 different Petit Verdots from around all, I think, the United States only.
Yeah.
But the quality's getting better, and they're kind of figuring out how to handle it. And I think it's
Petit Verdot. Petit Verdot has a great future in Virginia. Because it has such good acidity, and so therefore the wine back there seems to retain most of its character, even at lower alcohol levels. So you're seeing wines at 13%, and they're really pretty delicious wines. But Petit Verdot and Cabernet Franc in particular in Virginia, but in California you don't see as much of it as a standalone variety. Right.
Well, this really is lovely.
Just imagine that with a medium weight steak. Nothing. Too much char would blow the wine away. The wine is a little elegant, actually, surprisingly.
And what's the what's the vintage?
It's a 2013, and it sells for $40, which for Napa Valley wine is reasonably priced.
What about the laydown? Did I miss that? I was texting Mike here.
I would put it away for about 5 years only personally because I think it's got the character to withstand it. But it really, this is a wine that was made to be enjoyed relatively soon. And I would not age this really long time, but I think the most important thing about this wine is the way you pointed it out at the very beginning, Steve. This is an elegant wine.
Yeah.
You know, considering it's Petit Verdot.
And two winemakers on this, Mitch Cosentino and Paul Scoro. Mitch.
Mitch is a great winemaker. He's been in the Valley for a long, long time. Started his career in Modesto, of all places.
Is this at Bottle Barn Bear?
Not yet, no.
No, this is brand new. This is a new brand they just released.
Okay.
From Anthony Scotto.
You're going to need to get a hold of these guys.
Yeah, definitely.
That's good stuff.
And
stuff
John, to keep up.
If we brought John into the studio, he'd regale you with stories from 1950.
We'll get him in.
We'll do it.
Please.
We'll have him in.
It's California Wine Country with Dan Berger and Barry Herbst from Bottle Barn. It's brought to you by Bottle Barn, where Wine Country buys their wine, but also their spirits and beer. Great craft beer selection, great spirits selection, everything you are interested in, you can find it or they will get it. I wanted to ask you, Barry, about Barn Insider and Barn Outsider. This is kind of a new thing.
Yes. And in fact, we're going to start utilizing the Insider a little bit more. It used to be just for fantastic deals we'd stumble across, a winery that needed to move on to a new vintage or was eliminating one of their labels, and we could sell something generally for half what the winery was selling it for.
Right on.
And usually the wine goes out in the email with a description, a write-up from us, and it's sold out in sometimes hours, sometimes days, and 200 or 300 cases just evaporate. So we've used it for that mostly, but now we're starting these public tastings, and the Rosé was the first one. It was a big success.
That was at the Hyatt.
At the Hyatt.
Yeah.
And now we're lining up the next one, looks like October 30, for Pinot Noirs. It's done in a casual kind of walk-around setting, and hopefully you guys will be able to do the show from there.
So yeah.
We're going to do it on a Wednesday.
Beautiful.
And it'll be announced through the Insider.
Okay, so you can go to bottlebaron.com, click to join either or both the Barn Insider and the Barn Outsider.
Yeah, and then the Outsider is more Jason's area, the spirits.
Yeah.
And they do special deals on spirits, very similar to the wines. When he runs across great deals where he can buy in heavy and get the price down 30, 40, 50%, he'll run it out through that. None of this ever hits the four. It only goes via email to our customers, and they come pick it up in the back room.
Nice. So. We need to get I think Ben Pearson used to tell me that the spirit guy, Jason,
mm-hmm.
wasn't into really coming on the radio. Who's
no, it's the beer guy.
It's the beer
Zach
guy.
Zach is the shy guy.
Okay.
Jason's coming, and he's working on the sake guy.
Okay, good.
So
we're going to actually do a sake tasting.
It's really going to happen.
I love it.
Yeah.
So that, and we'll get one of our favorite sushi places to cater it that day.
I'm all in on sake and sushi.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely
I'm
ready
all in
for
on that.
I love it. It's bottlebarn.com. Now, what is this? Is the $140?
This is the $140
Venezuela wine.
No, Argentina,
whatever.
It's very close.
It's all the same to me.
Time.
I don't know.
Well, this is from probably the most worldly recognized brand in all of Argentina. It is from the House of Catena, Catena, and Laura Catena, who is an emergency room physician in San Francisco, and
wow.
Her family owns this property down in Argentina. They've been
and
making wine.
She's an emergency room physician at SF General, one of the hottest spots. I mean, was
we're talking serious
yes.
work.
It's like a MASH unit.
That's a MASH unit.
MASH triage.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Well, she's really a hero in a lot of ways, but this brand has taken on mythic proportions. Because she really has made a dent in. Think about this: Argentina may be one of the most unstructured modern countries in the world today, with a political system, a geopolitical system that's so radical and so wild,
out of control.
Oh, and all the way back to the 40s and 50s, and even before World War II. I mean, it's ridiculous. And this country has survived a lot based upon some heroic people. She is heroic. She has really made this industry what it is today. She brought in Paul Hobbs to be her consulting winemaker from Sonoma County. And Paul has turned this ship around, and there were all kinds of benefits that have accrued to the rest of the wine industry in Argentina because of what Laura Catena has done. So this is the wine that they are considering their flagship number one wine. It's
Catena
a Malbec.
Zapata.
Right, Argentino.
Yeah, it's Malbec Argentino 2012 is what it says on the label.
2012, just released. It's brand new, and they sent me a sample. I said, who am I going to write about this for? They said, if you taste it, you'll see that it's the best Malbec you ever tasted. Well, you know, it is.
Probably is.
It
really?
Probably is the best Malbec I've ever tasted. This is not your $12 bottle of house wine.
Okay, right? Explain Malbec to our listeners.
It's a typical grape variety for Argentina. It's number one. It's the number one grape variety in Argentina. But it's also
we grow it out here, right?
Yeah, we grow it here. And we do a wonderful job with it as a blending grape.
Right.
Now, Argentina has done it with blending. They blend it with Bonarda, which is another alternative grape variety called Charbono in other countries. Bonarda is a beautiful grape that doesn't have any complexity. Here, when it's blended with Malbec, you can get a sublime wine. Here, I don't know what's in this wine. All I know is this is a legitimate Malbec. Is it worth $140? I suspect that some people will find it the best Malbec they've ever tasted. They want it. If they've got the money, they'll buy it.
Not me.
I'm not going to spend $140 for it, but I can tell you I'm enjoying drinking it.
No, it does taste good. I mean, well, why do I like it, Dan?
Well, first of all, I put it in brand new oak, and that helps. Malbec on its own is a little simple. It's a little one-dimensional. That doesn't mean to say that it's unenjoyable. It is very enjoyable. The problem is that in many cases, after your first glass, you're not excited about the second glass because the complexity is not there.
Really?
This wine has got brand new oak in it, and it helps a lot. Now, this wine needs to be decanted. We don't have a decanter around here, so we're just drinking it. But if this were sitting around for 24 hours tomorrow,
yeah,
this would be better.
More out of it,
this
sure.
would be better.
Really?
Yeah. You know, 70-year-old vines, that's not something you see every day either.
No, this is really, very, very special wine.
Now, Dr. Laydown, how would you do that?
I would say 10 years at least.
Wow.
Because the wine is structured the way it should be. I mean, it has a good acidity. It's got the good personality. It really is. It's not made to be an iconic wine. It's made to be a classy, fine-quality wine. Mm. And that means it will take some aging. The question is, how many people in this world have got $140 a bottle and 10 more years?
I mean, not me.
I don't have the 10 years.
I was going to say, Mike, lay this down for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. I'll be croaking on the air in 10 years. But
tasty wine anyway.
So. No, I do like it. It's fascinating.
And Malbec's a lot like Petit Verdot. It's one of the original five grapes, and you're starting to see it now separated out. It's another category. I think I judged in a competition recently that double the amount of wines I remember seeing in competitions previously. So,
and you're never going to sell this at Bottle Barn because it's $140 and nobody knows what it is, really.
Not at this price. So yeah. We have carried a lot of their other wines, you know.
Really?
In the,
and they do have a $20 Malbec. That's
really?
Fabulous. Yeah.
That's,
and I'll bring it in next week. Why don't I bring in the $20 Malbec next week and
okay.
we can try it and compare.
Yeah.
It's, I should have thought about it, but...
It's not a huge step down. It's it's definitely not this. But
it's close.
The wine's
It's not quite as good. But
for $100 less.
Yeah, $100 less. It's easy. You know. Yeah.
Wow. Again, Katena Zapata, and she actually is an ER nurse at San Francisco.
Physician
at San Francisco. Oh, Jesus! But her family owns these vineyards in Argentina.
There you go.
Wow, that is a trip.
And if it weren't for her family, I suspect that the Argentine wine industry would be a fraction of what it is today.
Yeah, really?
She has really done a job to help along her entire country in its image as a fine wine producer.
Yeah, and I think at a time when Chile and New Zealand and Australia were all kind of jockeying to be the new guys on the block, Argentina really stepped forward, and I think they were a big part of it. You know, they kind of put them on the map and positioned themselves well and really focused on one grape, which I think is helpful, and they've become synonymous with Malbec now. So,
wow.
Yeah. And when you see Malbec in the United States today, I would say, 80% of them are going to be from Argentina.
Yes. Really?
Yeah, at least 80% of the wine that's out there called Malbec is an Argentine
wine. Okay, because the Malbec that is being grown in Sonoma County, as you mentioned,
is a
blender.
Yeah, we use it for many other purposes, and we do have some varietal Malbecs, and they're beautiful wines. But, it's one of those things where when you taste an Argentine Malbec, my wife and I were down there about 3 years ago, and we went from one restaurant to another. We tried about 30 different Malbecs, and they are just wonderful wines. They're reliable, not particularly exciting, but this is good. This is wonderful. All right, you have one more wine.
The Dornfelder. Yeah, now this is weird. This is the German one?
Yeah.
You can go ahead and turn on the geek alert right away.
Yeah.
Dornfelder. Dornfelder. That's a grape variety.
Yeah.
And this is it's a red. Oh. Okay.
Yeah, red.
It looked like it was a white.
Not a lot of red coming out of Germany.
Really?
Dornfelder is a grape variety that you might want to compare in your mind to Pinot Noir, but only in your mind. The aromatics are different, but the structure is similar.
Talk about the aromatics, because I can't.
I can't
explain what I'm
more
getting
more likely a sort of a blueberry sauce. Mm. It's got a blueberry
like a jam.
Yeah, like a jam.
Yeah, I can get that.
But it's also got a little bit of freshness of
that's unique.
Of some kind of almost a pine or some kind of a forest floor kind of character.
Yeah, got some earthiness definitely in the nose, combined with the sort of a jammy fruit quality.
What's it called again?
Dornfelder.
Dornfelder from Germany.
Mm-hmm. 2011 vintage.
Available at Bottle Barn.
Yep, $12.49.
Really?
Now, imagine what would happen if somebody says, I don't like red wines because they're always served at room temperature. Mm. Can you imagine? This wine would be delicious cold.
Yeah, actually, it would be kind of like Lambrusco temperature, that kind of.
Just chill this down.
I could see this.
It would be fine.
I'm going to take it home and chill it down.
There you go.
And it'll be good tomorrow as well because it's got great acidity.
The nose is so jammy.
It's intriguing, isn't it?
Yeah. What are you going to serve with?
And this is from
veal?
This is from my friend Rudy Viest.
I'll probably have a pizza from Gio's.
I called Rudy on the phone this morning, by the way, to tell him we were going to try this wine. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Where did you get it?" I said, "Bottle Bar." And he says, "I didn't know they were buying it from me." So,
anyway, really?
This is Rudy the importer.
Yeah. He's a legend in our business.
He said to me this morning, "I'm going to send you some more samples if you're putting them on the radio." I said, "That's no problem."
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win. Absolutely.
2011, Dornfelder, Reichsrat von Dürl.
Reichsrat von Dürl.
$12.49 at Bottle Barn. Yeah.
Easy drinking.
Chill it down.
Fantastic. It would be really nice.
Yeah.
It's been aged in wooden casks.
Neutral wood.
Those big, giant uprights. Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
Now, this is in a hock bottle, the tall, Riesling-shaped bottle. So the average consumer seeing this on a shelf is going to think it's white wine.
Mm-hmm. I looked over, and I couldn't tell. I thought it was a white wine.
And it's a dark glass, so hides the color.
Exactly.
And so the average consumer walking into your store, Barry, is going to see this as a white wine, and they're not going to get it. This is white.
I'm sure
there should be a big sign on it that says, white wine, no.
This would be a great one to serve wine to somebody that's studying for their sommelier certificate. Just to kind of...
I love this nose.
This is intriguing, isn't it?
It is.
Great with pizza.
Wow. And it's only $12.49 a Bottle Barn. Ready for traffic?
Delicious.
Oh, 1 minute. Go to bottlebarn.com. Become a barn insider and a barn outsider. Next week, Trichini coming in?
Trichini will be in, and that's Dan Barwick is the winemaker, but we're going to have Kathy Vicini, who's the winemaker's, who's the owner of the property.
Did I say Trichini?
Trichini.
I meant...
No, yeah, Trichini's correct, and Vicini is the name.
That's right.
Where does the name come? I have no idea.
We'll just ask her.
They've been in. It's been a long time.
We'll get the whole story next time.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. California Wine Country brought to you by Bottle Barn with Barry Herbst, the wine buyer from Bottle Barn, and my co-host Dan Berger. We were planning on having Trichini Winery back with us today, but we had some scheduling problems, so they'll be in, Dan, with us next week.
Absolutely.
All right. Barry, talk about what you guys are trying to do at Barn Outsider as far as you did the very successful rosé thing at the Hyatt.
Yes.
And what is coming up again?
So, yeah, October 30, it'll be a Wednesday during the showtime. It'll probably run from 4 till about 6:30.
I forget. At the Hyatt? Or no?
It's at the Hyatt. We did it in the Dry Creek Room, which was beautiful. It opened up into the area where they do all the weddings there. Big grass area. People were sitting outside. It's a really comfortable setting. There's appetizers provided. So everybody just buys a ticket in advance. We just basically cover the cost of the room. I think it was $25 for the rosé. Pinot Noir will probably have to be a little bit more because of the I don't think we'll get all the wine donated, so maybe $30, $35 range, something like that.
But a big Pinot Noir tasting,
it'll be great food and at least 40 Pinots, a lot of the big names from around here. And basically it's all sold out in advance. People buy tickets, and you'll be notified through the insider if you sign up. If we don't sell it on that, we'll probably promote it in the store, but I think
It'll sell out so fast.
Oh, hell yeah. And we'll be talking about it as we get closer to that date many times here on the drive. But go to bottlebarn.com to learn more. And, Dan, I think it was before we went on the air, you were talking about the prices of Pinot because everyone wants it.
Everybody's going nuts for high-quality Pinot Noir. There's plenty of the $8 and $10 and $12 Pinot Noirs, but they don't smell and taste like Pinot Noir. When you get to the really good stuff, it's going to be $50 a bottle or more. And some of the really good ones are now selling for... Bob Cabral was in studio last week here and unveiled his new Pinot Noir. It's $100 a bottle. I mean, that's the where the market is these days. I'm afraid to say, but that's the way it is.
You know, at this point, that seems a tad much in some ways.
Yeah, but you know what? There's a sublime nature to great Pinot Noir, as there was in the 70s for Pinot Noir, for Cabernet from Napa, as there was for some of these other iconic wines that have come down the road. I mean, we had a Chardonnay period probably in the mid-80s, and then we had Cabernet in the mid-90s, and now it's Pinot Noir.
Well, all right. So Trecini, who we love, will be back, or they'll be, they'll be back with us next week. I got to thank Barry Herbst, wine buyer at Bottle Barn, and everyone at Bottle Barn for sponsoring this show for so long, the award-winning California wine country. You're on vacation next week?
I am.
Okay.
Last of the year.
Cool. We'll see you, what, in 2 weeks?
2 weeks, yeah.
All right. And we will see Dan Berger next
week.
With Trecini.